season came crashing to a close on Sunday as they were beaten by the Florida Marlins 8-1.
And it's hit deep to left center. Andrew Jones on the run. This one has a chance. Home run! Mike Piazza!
Castillo. Drop the ball! He dropped the ball!
Well, they will not let Robin Ventura run around the bases.
And Scott Rowland hits one into deep left field. Back at the wall. A leap. And a catch! Andy Chavez takes a home run away and turns it into a double play.
Bears struck him out looking. The Cardinals are going to Michigan to take on the Tigers.
Looking for his first hit of the year.
Oh. He drives one deep left field. That goes Upton. Back near the wall. It's out of here. Bartolo has done it. The impossible has happened.
And Alonso cracks one deep toward the left field corner. The city in half, and the Mets lead it.
All right, we're live.
We are live for the final episode of We Gotta Believe for this season. We retweeted now. Last one brought to you by the guys who have been bringing it to you the whole time, Coors Light, the Blue Mountains. The only way we got through this season. As a Coors Light. The good moments, we cracked it and enjoyed it. The bad moments, we cracked it and got through it. So on a personal level, I want to thank the good folks at Coors Light, not only because they sponsor this and, you know, it's been very fun getting this off the ground and turning it. We kind of, I remember saying, you know, some people said, do you want to do like another podcast? You're on so many. And I was like, listen, I always talk about the Mets anyway. I might as well just like formalize it. We can make some money. We can grow some followers. And at the time they were like, well, you know, are they really a team worth talking about? And I said, let's start it now because we got to be there for the bad times. And then hopefully we'll be there for the good times. And rather quickly, Steve Cohen came down from the heavens. And so Coors Light helped make this podcast happen. And then I hope that when, brighter days are ahead, the podcast and all the followers and the listeners will have grown and we'll have a nice little Mets Fans Anonymous Fans of Anarchy community for all the good times. And without sponsors, I don't know if this ever would have happened. So a big personal thank you to Coors Light. And I think Mets fans everywhere, thank you for getting through, you know, the bad days of Diaz and then, you know, with your boys over the good nights with Diaz. And, you know, When Pete Alonso swings at a ball, it's 45 feet in the grass. You gotta grab your head. You take a swig. When he hits a fuck bomb to the moon, you got your Coors Light. So shout out to them. Brewed in Colorado, right? Blue Mountains. Thank you. Always celebrate responsibly, especially when we're at the parade one day.
It's the beer that's made to chill, and we needed a lot of chilling, especially in this season where we had all this shit just packed into a couple months. And I'll trade this. I have happy thoughts with Coors Light. Coors Light, I associate with Uncle Stevie now. They brought us from the depths of the goddamn Corona strike or whatever the fuck was going on with the negotiations. That goddamn bracket that we didn't even make it through the first round. And now everything is good. Coors Light was their transition. They got us through this. So thank you, Coors Light, the good folks in Golden, Colorado.
Fucking
shout out.
Funny. How funny. And we were like, all right, well, it's Corona. We don't have any live games to watch. We'll just do this bracket for a couple weeks. And we couldn't even finish the round of 64. I think we had like several first round games left, right?
Yeah, we got one bracket done on the final like conference.
Yeah, it's crazy. So weird season with, I would have to say, out of the non-contender teams, or maybe just in general period, the Mets had more news and more storylines than basically anybody, good or bad. So it's been, you know, a shortened season with more baseball drama than like I can even imagine during full 162 game years. So here we are today, the big news being Sandy Alderson is back, officially announced as the president of baseball operations, which is, I mean, that's a fucking title. Now, I will say this. I'll give you my good side, my bad side, my optimistic side, my pessimistic side. Number one, optimistic side. Sandy Alderson with money is when Happy Gilmore learned how to putt. He had the power game. Now he's got the short game. We have always said Sandy Alderson is a money ball genius. He gets something out of nothing. He will maximize your okay talent, and you can put together a regular season contender. And if you ever gave Sandy some money to couple with that knowledge and that mentality, theoretically, you should have, a baseball genius. So there's that. I think that's good. I think it's good that Steve Cohen must like this guy, as a minority owner who was in the picture. He knows Sandy. He likes Sandy, clearly, if the very first thing he did immediately was bring him back. So I like to have owners on board with management, and there's harmony, right? The pessimistic side of me is saying, should we really be retreading anything from Mets past? Part of me wants to just move on, leave everything in the past, even some of the good things, even the guys we didn't really have problems with. We need to turn a new page, new leaf, all those cliches, full speed ahead with some sort of, from top to bottom, I want new, innovative, dynamic, never thought before, never considered to be that, So I don't know where are you guys? Is this all good for you? Is there any hesitation in your heart when it comes to this? When it comes to Sam?
For me, it's not again the retread stuff with the Mets. We've talked about that a million times. It's Todd Frazier coming back. It's Jose Reyes coming back. Roger Cedeno, if you want to go back, and everything always gets worse the second time, significantly worse. I just feel like Steve Cohen, obviously he was a minority owner at the Mets. He knows a lot of these people that he's probably dealt with. He's probably like, this guy knows what the fuck he's talking about. And obviously Sandy's a super respected dude in the industry as well. And the fact that he was probably like, these fucking idiot Wilpons are handcuffing him. And, I love that. I like what Sandy did. I thought he brought in good players. Obviously there was a lot of shit that went wrong along the way at the end there. But whenever you heard his quotes, it was always like, I'm doing, with our restraints or with our challenges, with the stuff. And it's like, that shouldn't be the case when you are the general manager or baseball czar of a New York baseball team. And he got what he could. He got us to the World Series. Everyone that's been a consistent contributor on this team, pretty much everyone we love now, is a Sandy guy. I mean,
that's huge, because it's like, part of me, feels like we built this thing and we had a run in 2015 and then the window slammed shut. And it's like, not really. He was already retooling. He was already getting the Zach Wheelers and building towards the future. And to the point now, you look around, this whole offensive core are his guys. So if he was given the rope, it wouldn't have been just like a fluke. We put together one good year. He was in the process of building a steady winner. And I think it's good to be, he's being rewarded for that. And I love that. There's a little bit of a little bit of shot to Jeff, because Sandy and them were at odds. And it's like, all right, first thing I'm doing is bringing back the guy you stupidly got rid of. Ultimately, I will always trust Steve Cohen with everything. So all good. But
this is like the first time that we're going to get Sandy like full tilt, everything he wants, because he's the guy. So like, I saw an article today from The Athletic that he asked for more analytics people to be hired full time. They only had three guys in the analytics department when he was here. And they told him, no, we don't have the money. Go hire interns. The most important part of your front office is analytics. That's what every single company, every single franchise in Major League Baseball relies upon. And we had interns and three guys that I'm assuming were crammed into a cubicle in the basement. I feel like,
I'm not going to get mad because those guys are gone. It's just like, Okay, whatever. Terrible. Makes my blood boil. But okay, we're fine. Because that is, we've moved on from that. And that is insanity. Okay, good. My thing was, president of baseball operations is a big deal. I thought it was going to be more like I said, Omar's going to do international scouting and he does domestic scouting or whatever you fucking call it in-house. But director of baseball operations, I do get a little worried. Sandy's like 100 years old. And by the way, in good health, I guess. Like, good. Happy about that. At what point, even if you are a good baseball mind, and even though he was early on the analytics train, is he going to be behind in any other ways? Are there new young guys who are taking what he built and his way of thinking and going a step further, whereas Sandy's still like locked in? You know, I don't need a 2003 Moneyball team. I'm not looking for that. I'm looking for a 2023. I'm looking for 2030. I want someone who's very forward thinking. And I trust Steve Cohen wholeheartedly that, you know, if he's making this decision, that it is a guy who's got his eyes on the prize and the future. But, you know, it just gives you a little bit of trepidation that it's like, what if he's still trying to do things from the past when he should be thinking about the future?
And I think that's that level.
I mean, you know, there's whoever is officially the general manager, you know, is there going to be any confusion? Is it going to be like, I'm the young buck, I'm up and coming finance wizard, I'm 26, I'm the GM. Do I have say, or does like the 75-year-old baseball lifer have say? Who overrides who? You know, does Sandy take a back seat? Does he do it willingly, or does he secretly do it begrudgingly? Like, it just can open up a can of worms that I don't know if is the best thing. If it was just like, here's my new team, three or four guys, all from 0.72 or sack, and they're going to run the show and they're going to kill it together. Part of me had that allure in my mind, and obviously that's not the direction we're going.
I think that's fair. I also think just from the other side of looking at things, though, like you have to have a guy who's just going to be like the head of it all, right? At the top of the chain. And then you get all these guys, all they have relationships. That's what we learned in Moneyball, right? With Theo and Billy Beane and all that stuff. And we have now we're bringing like the analytical side of things. And then it's going to be he's going to then rely on whoever he hires as GM and in all those other spots to then get their guys. And I would imagine Sandy's just going to be kind of doing the higher up, the checking off, just the, you know,
I hope. But we don't know,
Yeah, of course not. And we're not going to know anything until they make the more hires. And I still think, like, whether it's Sandy getting his guys to firing the guys or Steve Cohen, who probably has been thinking of this shit ever since, you know, last year. So Steve Cohen's been thinking about this for a year now, ever since he thought he was going to get the Mets the first time. That's true. He knows his fucking – I want to know what 22-year-old from Brown he has who's his numbers guy who's fucking, you know, going to be able to through algorithms and go Goodwill Hunting on the entire game of baseball.
This shit's easy for me. It's easy for me.
And again, like you said, I love the zing in his statement this morning. He goes, Sandy is an accomplished and respected baseball executive who shares my philosophy of building an organization and a team the right way. Such a fucking cannon Jeff Wilpon's dumb fucking face. Loved it.
So like Moneyball, the team's already built for Moneyball. So like it's based on maximizing the three-run home run, base runners, not stealing, not getting picked off, not being a fuck up on the base pass.
Well, yeah, we need to work on that.
They need to fix that. Yeah. That's the only thing we need to fix. But like the core is there. So like if he can find those little diamond in the rough guys in like the bullpen or like go get a big bat, big outfielder.
But this is what I mean. I don't want that anymore. Like we're not we I want to think bigger than that. You need the diamonds in the rough, but like the Sandy comes from a place of like that's what he's doing cuz he had to do it. And I just hope that he also knows how to operate with like the big bucks. It seems easy to just be like here's the blank check, go ahead. But there's an art to that as well, like knowing who to sign and who's worth the big bucks. And I just want there to be a little bit of a shift of mentality of like, we don't have to scrape by here, Sandy. Make sure ultimately what I'm happy about is like, they're happy. Steve's happy. He wants him. We're good. But I just, you know, in anything, in any sport, when you have like a new regime come in, you want everyone to be a part of that new regime. And you don't want like whoever comes in is going to be like, well, Steve and Sandy already had like their own connection, you know, and I have my connection with Steve over here. But are we all going to gel and like he likes me better than him or he listens to him more than I listens to me? If there maybe that doesn't happen, but that's on the table now because we hired an old person, a guy from the previous regime. Seems a little bit unorthodox to me. But
this is
Steve we trust. El Jefe, the boss. You do what you want, boss.
This is just it's your Mets fan soul coming out. Like, we're used to this shit. We've seen these movies a million times. This is just completely different. You have to believe. You got to believe. Mm-hmm. We got to believe. I mean, just again, we've seen it with the Red Sox. You see it with the Cubs and the mm-hmm. like. This is what you do when you build an analytics team with a wallet and you it's mm-hmm. again, I'm using the I word infrastructure. We're going to build this shit. The scouting is going to be done right. International shit's going to be done right. And Steve Cohen, of all people, the guy, like, it's the thing about Moneyball. It's not about just, you know, the ambit. It's finding the undervalued assets. Steve Cohen, Mr. Black Edge himself, he's going to find that shit, and he's probably going to do shady shit to find those black edges and ensure we get them. That's what you need. You need the ruthless motherfucker.
Yeah. Can I also say, highly speculative that Sandy is just being hired to push through the owner's votes. So yeah. 75 years old, he's going towards retirement. I wouldn't put it past Steve to be like, oh, look, like, this guy's going to help me usher myself through the door, and then I'll show you out the back door on your way through.
I didn't think of it like that. That's interesting. You need
to, he gets the vote to be here for a year. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I like that. Also, I think it's a sign. I don't know if this is true or if it was just like, as fans, we kind of made this up, but there was the talk of like, are other owners going to be afraid of Steve Cohen? Is he going to spend so much that he makes small markets look bad? Is it going to be hard for me to go get a free agent when Steve comes in $100 million over market value and blows everyone out of the water? I don't know whether any of that was ever real, but we all kind of discussed that. And it seems like it could be a way of thinking for some owners. Well, what's a great way to dispel all that? Here's Sandy Alderson, who's, you know, Mr. Moneyball, tight wallet. So forget about my image as spend like a drunken sailor. We've got a guy who, you know, is very frugal. Could be. Maybe it's all those things. Maybe it's everything combined. Maybe Sandy, I mean, this was quick. He did this very fast. It makes me feel that either A, it's one extreme or the other. It's either like it's a gimmick to like just get this deal done, or it's like he's perfect. He's everything I want. He checks all those boxes and is the right guy for the job. But either way, in Steve, we trust, as always. Some fucking asshole chirping me today. There's only been one team who spends like and does the homegrown development and sees the sustained success. You're not the Dodgers. So you're goddamn right we're not the Dodgers. Dodgers don't even win World Series, brother. So I'm sick of the comparisons. We're not going to be the Yankees. We're not going to be the Dodgers. You've never seen an owner like this in baseball, ever. Never seen it before. He's going to be different, whether it's good, whether it's bad. Yes, Gary Cohen, we know. Yes, Andy Martino. The future is the future. We can't possibly know what's going to happen, but it's going to be different. So stop with the Steinbrenner and the Yankees. Fuck the Dodgers. Forget about any comparison, because you've never seen someone with $14 billion, an axe to grind, a lifelong fandom, all of that combined. We're going to see some shit, man, and it's not going to be like anything else you've seen before. The only thing I hope does hold true is that when a big market franchise gets a new owner, they go win a World Series. Put it in the books like every single fucking time. Or I guess in the case of the Dodgers, it wasn't a World Series, but it's incredible amounts of sustained success. So that's the only thing I hope does history does repeat itself. Everything else I think is going to be brand new. And that's part of why, you know, Sandy kind of made me go, well, wait a minute. I was expecting a whole new revolution, and we went with a familiar face. Gave me a little bit of a pause. But that's because, again, Steve Cohen is not going to just be like, I'm here for the fucking – we're going to flip the tables over and go crazy. He's got a method to his madness, and that was the first step. So,
you know, he's
called the comparisons.
This is what it is. Steve Cohen is going to take the Mets, who may not be the nicest looking thing, a little disheveled, let's be honest. He's going to give him a nice little fucking makeover. He's going to cut the hair. He's going to throw the gummies in, and it's all going to be fine. We're going to become better. It's the same fucking person. Honestly, it's just going to be better because Steve's going to do it the right way.
Steve Cohen is Erica Fleischman. I am the Mets. I was gross. I was disgusted. I was balding, and I needed help. And I was about to be on the big stage. I was getting engaged. I was going to be married. And Erica Fleischman came in. She swooped in. She purchased the franchise. She bought me for $2.45 billion, whatever it was, and she's overhauling it. Now, She kept my hair. Like, my hair was like Sandy. What's there, what's been there from the old regime, we're going to work with, and we're going to maximize it and optimize it and make it better while also growing a whole bunch of new shit, bringing in a whole bunch of new hair and new players, and we're going to style it up, we're going to dress it up, and you're going to be a whole new man and a whole new franchise. Erica is – Finkel is Einhorn. Einhorn is Finkel. Finkel, Eric and Fleischman, Cohen, they're members of the tribe. They're good people. Shana Tova, Mazel Tov, L'chaim.
Give us Hein Bloom, goddammit. Give us Hein Bloom, Boston. We'll give you international money.
This right here is the hair cream. So, like, I've just been wearing a hat. It's kind of like – it's a little bit of a mess. It's easy peasy. You just rub a little in. You style it up. I push down the sides.
We got a live creaming going on right now. For people that can't see in the pockets, we have a live creaming going on right now.
A little bit of demonstration.
See, I pull it to the side. They kind of cover up the receding hairline and the power alleys. I'm like, pow, I'm ready to go, babe. It's fine. From hat head to normal hair in one little squeeze of the Fleischman hair cream. They've also got the hair paste. They've got the hair gummies to help it grow. That's what she came on with me. And so we got to make sure you grow your hair and keep your hair because you're getting up there in age. We've got the shampoo and conditioner, which has a great scent. It's a very subtle scent. I don't know what it is, but all the girls who get their hands on it love the scent too. So it's not just for the fellas. The girls can get involved too. You can take the gummies. You need biotin. You want your hair to shine and look nice. You got to wash it and condition it. The sea salt spray, that works for both of us, guys and girls. You get a little bit of grit to it. It feels like you just walked off the beach and got out of the ocean. All of these things available when you go to FleischmanSalon.com. That's FLEISCHMAN, salon.com. Right at the top, you go to shop, and you can buy all these things. You can get them delivered right to your house on a regular basis, as frequently or as infrequently as you want. You can go a la carte if you only want one or two of the items. I recommend you just get all of them because you need all the hair care and you're going to need it forever. So you might as well sign up. When you use the promo code BELIEVE, I believe it is. Double check that for me, Kyle.
20% off.
20% off. Then when you do the subscription to get the deliveries, you get an additional discount. So be like Cohen and overhaul your franchise. The hair, your hair is the most important thing. It's on your head every day. It's like having it's like your face. It's like your face extended. So you wear it every day, spend a little bit of cash, get on a whole plan, if you will. Like Steve's coming in with a plan. Got to have a plan for your hair, and Erica's going to help you execute it. So go to FleischmanSalon.com, promo code BELIEVE, 20% off. Get all the items, grow your hair, clean your hair, style your hair, do it the Fleischman way. That's one more time, FleischmanSalon.com, promo code BELIEVE for 20% off.
Just trust in the professionals. Steve Cohen's a professional, his job. Erica's a professional, her job. We're going to fucking make magic happen. Believe it, God damn it.
So
the other thing is, like, just to go before we move on, is that this is going to be the first time ever in our Mets life that we're going to just have to worry about the product on the field and not all the other shit behind the scenes of them putting it all together. Like, I trust him enough with the pieces that we already have that if we're going to really buy into, like, this new Mets life, it's just the players on the field. You can't, like, look into the front office. Once they hire who they hire, I'm just like, Stevie's the guy, and it's time to just buy in 100%. Because I don't think he's going to hurt us the way we've been hurting fast.
Make no mistake about it. This ownership is great for the Mets fans. It's great for the podcast long term in terms of having a team that's in the mix instead of having to, like, make chicken salad out of chicken shit. This is a disaster for us content wise. My blogs, I just don't have, like, I can't just be like, City Field's on fire again. I don't have, like, that blog. I lose. That's three blogs a year. I lose it. We're fake killing people. We fake killed Yo. We fake killed people from the 69 Mets. We, like, this is a catastrophe content wise for us. But you would hope that the wins and all the other stuff and Steve Cohen building a competent franchise from the bottom up and the top down, that is going to rule the day. And I have to shout out this tweet from our guy, Tim Healy. The Mets clinched a losing record for the third time in 4 years and the 11th time in 18 seasons under Wilpon. Like, that's under, like, not missing the playoffs, under 500 in a major market. Yeah. That's almost impossible to
that's
do
where
in baseball where you have an advantage.
People say I'm too negative, or they're like, you know, if you looked at his tweets, you would have thought they were, you know, like, last place. And it's like, yeah, we had some good seasons, but overall, when you look at it, it's an inexcusable amount of trash, just mediocrity, under 500 that many years in a New York franchise when you had talent. I mean, to have some of the names they had and didn't capitalize on it, I mean, it will forever haunt me that we had that starting rotation all combined for like $2.5 million and never went and spent all the rest of the money on bats. Yeah. It's inexcusable. I love the beat reporters who are able to speak their minds now and don't have to worry about shit. And, you know, we're seeing how everybody in Mets world believes now. It's like, so it really isn't just like me and Clem once he consoles and the Frank Flemings of the world. Like, everybody's down on this team. It's just we were the ones always speaking our mind. All these beat reporters and writers all had to play the game and play nice for access and credentials and all that shit. And really, if you ask them what they thought, they would be like, these guys are fuck. This team fucking sucks. We've just been calling it like it is from day one. And I hope that now we can lead the charge the other direction and tell you guys how fucking awesome it's going to be. But yeah, I mean, that is just three times in 4 years during, you know, with guys like DeGrom and Alonso and like 11 times, you know, people talk about, oh, in 2015, you just went to the World Series. Well, look at every other season surrounding that, guys. It was always a fucking joke other than that. So
It was Tinder. They're throwing newspaper on and little flame and burst, and then it was gone and never caught on the lot. Yeah. And that's what pissed me off. And I co-sign what you say, Kev, because I mean, we see it from home. We're fans. We see the stories in the newspaper of all the stupid shit that we're having to deal with in terms of a goddamn whole bracket of misery, right? Mm-hmm. All this stuff. Everyone knows the Mets have been comically mismanaged for years and years by ownership. The people who actually had to go to the stadium every day and probably had to like deal with them know even more than us. And the ones who didn't say a fucking thing, I don't want to see the books. I don't want to see like you go on your things. You guys were fucking just as complicit as anyone else who were fucking sucking their dicks and propping up. And we know those people too. The people who had Jeff Wilpon's ass up their ass as they acted like puppets the entire time. Mark Carrig, Buster Olney, those are the people that can talk shit because they were talking shit when the Wilpons weren't even being rumored to sell. Those guys are the ones I want to hear. Everyone else didn't say a thing. I understand you're kind of in a bind. At Barstool, we can say whatever we want because we're not like, you know, buddy-buddy with the Mets and getting Wilpon favors and quotes and anonymous sources and shit. But everyone that didn't say a fucking thing, go fuck yourself. And any tell-all books, the only tell-all books I will buy are from people that have the receipts from fucking 2015 and earlier that were calling these guys out on their bullshit.
Go off, King. Go off, King. That's Mark Carrick's my favorite because he was always telling the truth. And you knew like deep in his heart how he really felt. He was just one of us. He was one of us with a lanyard around his neck and a credential. That was the only fucking difference. Otherwise, he was just one of the guys who really could see this team for what it is. And that's what's so funny to me when I think about some of the young Mets fans or some of the optimistic ones who would always like, you're the dummy. You guys like, and I'm happy to see everyone is speaking their mind because I hope those fans look and be like, shit, like even the best baseball minds or the beat reporters who are there every day, all of them can tell it like it is. All of them are like, boy, this shit sucks. So, you know, no, you weren't right all this time to support this regime. You weren't right to be like, no, we've got a shot. It's like, no, there was a problem and we ignored it for years. And fans like that are complicit because they're enabling that ownership and all of it's gone now. But I just hope I keep saying I want the team to be overhauled, but I want a fan base overhaul. I want everyone to start thinking differently, raise your expectations, raise your standards, hold people accountable, and don't just give players, owners, and management a free pass when they're clearly underachieving. So,
this season was the last season that you could be like, all right, maybe it's not the Wilpons. They missed the playoffs in a year where it's harder to miss the playoffs than make the playoffs with a fucking lineup that every single day was a professional lineup. And you could talk about, you know, Noah had, again, this season was unreal. I mean, Noah has Tommy John surgery. Stroman had to be one of the biggest names to opt out. And then Yo too, which was a goddamn fiasco when it was all said and done. And that all starts with ownership and all that other kind of shit from the bottom on down. So you guys lost. All you Wilpon fucking apologists lost. Wow. It's an L. Now we go on to Steve Cohen. And if Steve Cohen can't fix the Mets, then it's truly rooted in this franchise. It's fucking just a loser franchise.
One way or the other, I will be happy because we win the World Series or I truly give up. Because if Steve Cohen and $14 billion lifelong fandom, axe to grind, eye on the prize, desire to win, all of that. If he can't turn it around, then there really is black magic and dark arts, and there's no point. So
you can just be at peace with it too.
Right.
You're just at peace with it. You're like, we're the lovable losers, and that's just what we'll always be. Yep. But
and we, you know, we turn it into I either stop or, you know, you turn it into Wrigleyville where it's like it's a party. You know, the Rockies, everyone's just fucking high as shit out there. Like, there's ways to enjoy baseball if you lower your expectations and give up on the dream. So one way or the other, I'm good. Much like one way or the other, we will have the reigning Cy Young on our team. Trevor Bauer and his Cy Young run is brought to you by who? Draft Top, right?
Draft Top.
Draft Top, again, is like Steve Cohen. We're coming in and it chops the top off. Just sing, chop the top off, chop the head off and restart and take it from an ugly can to a beautiful cup. Change it from the lovable loser Mets to the cocky winning New York City flushing Mets. That's what Draft Top is. It's one of these companies that you take your can, take your Coors Light, and rather than being some peasant with your pop top and your glug, 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 it's a device that just smoothly, cleanly chops the entire top of your can off and transforms it from a can to a cup. Now you say, why would I need that? First of all, high society, high class. Again, I don't want
to be Steve Cohen level.
Yes. Steve, you think Steve Cohen drinks out of like a pop top? For sure not. You don't want the glug. You don't want any of that. What you do want is a nice cup with a clean, smooth edge. You're not going to cut your lips or anything. Where, if you want to add a garnish, you can. Have you ever tried to put a lime or a lemon in your beer when it's in the mouth and you're squeezing it and you're trying to push it through and it's all like fraying apart? Not anymore. Now you can just squeeze it. Put it, yeah, that's Will Punch shit, just trying to jam a lime into your can of Corona. Now you can squeeze it in, put it right there along the edge. You could even maybe garnish the edge with a little, maybe if you're doing a pumpkin beer, you put a little sugar, a little brown sugar around the edge there, and you can sip it, taste the sweet while you have your pumpkin ale. All that's made possible through a cup, not a can, and that's what Draft Top does, transforms it. Easy to use, slice it. Pop the top off, and you've got yourself an entirely different way to drink and dress up your beer. Kyle, hit them with the what are the details? DraftTop.com.
Promo code Stoolies for 15% off.
That's a new promo code. I haven't seen that one in years. Stoolies.
And it's DraftTop.com.
DraftTop.com, promo code Stoolies. Transform the way you drink your beer while the team of your dreams transforms the way they do business. DraftTop.com, promo code Stoolies for 15% off.
Oh, it's so beautiful. We're going to be high society. I'm going to wear a fucking handkerchief around my neck as I watch the Mets. I'm going to have my Coors Light all like drinking.
Smoking jacket.
Little pocket like wear. I'll have a pipe over here. I'll drink my Draft Top pop when I'm drinking my Coors Light. The Blue Mountains, nice and cold in there. It's amazing. It's a whole new life. It's a whole new world. Same old podcast. Whole new world. So Trevor Bauer, though, is – I go back and forth on Bauer. Last night in the postgame, I was saying if you're not down with Bauer, you're one of these Yankee fucking haters, Marty Mush, Tommy Scabelli, these fucking losers who don't like Bauer's gimmicks and shticks and all that. I'm all here for it. I'm here for the McGregor walk. I'm here for the screaming on the mound. I loved when he airmailed the ball into center field. Even when he's being an asshole, I can get down with it because it's all rooted – in passion and love and desire for to kill it and crush. Last night he wraps up another, I think it was 8 innings, 10 strikeouts, whatever. Yeah. All but like, I mean, it's coming down to the wire. You can't say anybody's sealing up the Cy Young, but you know, did as much as you possibly can in that front, and then tweets immediately afterwards, give me that. You know, I love all that. What I will say is too far for me is him sitting on Twitter arguing with, I think, nobodies. I don't even think they were like beat reporters or writers or anything, just explaining why he should win the Cy Young with these stats that, I'll be honest, I haven't even heard of. I've never been a stats head, but he's talking about shit I don't even know, acronyms and names that I'm like, what the fuck? You don't need to be doing that, dude. You don't need to be talking to Joe Schmo about how you turn the lineup over more times than the next guy and your XFIP and your ERA adjusted and all this shit, and that's why you deserve it. Let your play do the talking. Trash talk on Twitter, but don't, like, campaign for yourself on Twitter. You don't need to be doing that because the other A, other people are going to do it for you, and B, when you go out there and shove the way you did last night, that's all that you need to do. You've done your job. Let the Twitter trolls and the losers and the people like us do the tweets back and forth, you know?
I am going to say this too. I got this from my guy at RJ Mets 43. Jacob DeGrom, before the season started in July 6th, I would say there has to be a difference between 12 starts versus 32 or 33. Basically saying it's not going to be the same as, you know, winning the Cy Young this year as opposed to other years. So I am out now. I refuse to acknowledge or recognize the Cy Young Award winner of the 2020 Corona season. It's an asterisk. The game of baseball built on history and memories and real numbers, 162 games or whatever it was before then with
Babe Ruth was playing.
Fucking at what, 60? Does not count. None of this counts. Wipe it from the records. I already refuse to acknowledge a champion of the World Series, Corona Series, whatever it's going to be called. I refuse to acknowledge a Cy Young Award winner. I do reserve the right to change my mind if there is a perfect game thrown, say, Saturday night. Other than that, I refuse to acknowledge, no matter who wins.
How about
I will edit this podcast if I need to.
Will you change your mind if, come December, whatever, at the winter meetings, Trevor Bauer signs with the New York Mets?
Jacob DeGrom is the reigning full season Cy Young Award champion. I will not.
All right, I like that.
There you go. That's fair. Yep.
I like that. The full season Cy Young. That means if next year Jacob DeGrom goes and it's technically 3-4, it will still be three straight full season Cy Youngs. And if we our number two on our staff happens to have the short season Cy Young, sure. Then fine. Then we have two Cy Young winners simultaneous. Reigning Cy Young winners on our staff. I'll be honest. Is there any reason other than Steve Cohen's got empty deep pockets and Trevor Bauer is going to be a free agent that everybody is like Trevor Bauer to the Mets, Trevor Bauer to the Mets? Has anything ever been said? Has he ever said he wants to come here? It's just us getting our hopes up, right?
It's just us being like, this guy will be awesome on Uncle Stevie. Uncle Stevie will pay him. We got a 1 year, 2 year deal. I mean, we need an arm, and there's a million reasons for it, but it's just completely, we poisoned our own brains here.
I wasn't even thinking of that. I had my sights on, you know, I was getting daydreaming about the Lindors and trading for Arenado, and Real Muto is a very real possibility. And I just hadn't been thinking about pitchers, I guess. But I was very – like when Wayne Randazzo was arguing with Trevor Bauer, people were like, you idiot. He's going to be on the team next year. Like, don't pick a fight with him. As if it was like a done deal. And I was thinking like, wait, when did I miss that? Is he like a lifelong Mets fan? Is he from Queens? Is there a reason why? Nope, we just want him. And that's the new overhaul. That's what I want. He's going to look great in orange and blue. He's going to look great in Flushing. We are – let's live that Yankee life now where we just automatically assume everyone's coming into our team. And I want Steve Cohen to, you go get me Bauer and Real Muto this year. And all of a sudden we're justified in saying that. Can't wait till he's on the Mets. Let's fucking go. Give him a 1 or 2 year deal. That's what's great about it too, is you don't have to commit to him. He doesn't want the long-term deal. Crazy man. We don't want to give it out because nobody does, especially the pitchers. And let's have ourselves a little like 2 year fling. I love it.
I'm looking at like,
ask, best. Do you think he's going to go away from that though? Cause like, this is the highest he's, if he wins the Cy Young and you can get locked in for 8 years with like Garrett Cole money, you kind of have to I don't know if I'd want to sign up for that because like I'm down for Broadway Bauer, the pageantry, all that shit. But like, if he's arguing with people from in Cincinnati, if he's arguing with people on Twitter, he comes to New York, exactly. Get eat alive. Yeah. He's having a bad year.
But if like he's used to 2 year deals and we give him like 4, in his mind, that might be like, wow, this is a long term deal. But, you know, once you're 30, right? He's over 30.
Is he?
I don't know.
I thought he was turning 30 this year. Did I make that up?
Oh, you better take the big.
Yeah,
he's 29
right now.
Yeah. So like, you know, at some point, I love that he bets on himself. But I'm sure his agent and his people and somewhere in his brain, he's going, all right, I was cocky my whole career. I kept earning more because I did these short term deals. Now it's time for me to like cash in. I earned the final big paycheck because, you know, you do 2 years, you're 32. It just doesn't make sense anymore. So maybe he played his cards perfectly right. And now it's time for a long term deal with a 14 billionaire. And I'll give it to him. Fuck it. I mean, it's not perfect. And you do always run the risk of like, well, what if he's hurt? Clem, you said this last night. There's nothing worse than a big fat pitching contract that's just stuck on the books. Yep. But the whole thing is that we should be able to absorb those type of back end bad deals. So you give him like 6-7 years and 30 through 33 is great. And then 34 is okay. And 35 through 38 or whatever is terrible. That's the way the game works. And hopefully we now have an ownership and enough finances that we can deal with that. Plus the thought of Jake Bauer, Noah, you know, Noah's never really turned into the ace we wanted, but we're not asking him to be an ace. We're asking him to be a three, in which case I think that would be awesome. So,
and then Broadway Bauer. Ooh, I like
it. T-shirts.
That fills in the vacuum of content. Like if Bauer throws a ball over center field, that's content. I can block it. I can work with Trevor Bauer here now. If we're buttoned up Bauer, everywhere else.
Bright Lights Bauer, any other bees you got? Like, let's do it.
We talked about this on one of the post games or whatever, but his like, you know, Jake faced like the 60% of the best offenses in baseball or something because the East divisions are so stacked this year where Bauer is facing like 10% of the best running. So I have to say like the numbers are a little worrying me there if we're going to invest in him big time. And his, again, I'm a Fangraphs guy, like FIP and XFIP, which are like, you kind of like the new age ERA. Mm-hmm. His numbers aren't great in those. Like his ERA is 1.73. Yeah. His FIP is 2.87. His XFIP is 3.22. Where Jake's FIP is 1.99. His XFIP is 2.43. Woo. So, I mean, again, the voters may look at that. The voters also may be like, the old dinosaur voters would be like, I'm never going to vote for the guy who threw a ball over center field and is a crazy person for my Cy Young. Maybe they just give it to Jake as like kind of a gold glove lifetime achievement award thing. Whatever the fuck it is, I'll take it. I will acknowledge it in that case, I don't think Bauer is like this lock to be this guy forever. He was the third overall pick in the draft. So he obviously has the talent and I love him. But at the same point, like again, then we fell the rotation with Lugo and Peterson. It's fucking nice, man. We're a contender right away. Potentially. Rotation.
Again, like it's not, like you said, is it perfect? No, but the point is that we should be able to do this stuff. It doesn't have to be perfect anymore. We can kind of overpay or, you know, it's a little bit of a square peg round hole. Fuck it. Whatever the reasoning may be, sign me up. And who knows, maybe he's not built for New York. If he's complaining and arguing Cincinnati, maybe he needs that. Maybe he'll rise to the occasion and the juice will be flowing arguing with like scumbag Yankee fans. I tend to lean. Oh, that he does have the goods. I think he does have the goods. I think he's, you know, he fucks around with the Rocket. He's on Morning Wood. He embraces Barstool. I think he's always, you know, this season he's risen to the occasion. Whether you're in Cincinnati or not, it's like, you know, you're on the big stage right now, and he's showing up. So Broadway Bright Lights Bauer, I think would be interesting one way or the other. You know what I mean? Like give me some juice, and we'll see what we got here. So
that's great for his brand too. I mean, this day and age, I mean, he's obviously done pretty well being in Cincinnati, right? But you come to New York and I'm the Uncle Stevie Mets and you want to, you know, get your vlog out or whatever fucking media empire you want, the Bauer Outage media. Is it Bauer Outage? He's like a media wing already. Yep. I know. I remember when he did he's the one who organized that softball game in the preseason, or it ended up being a wiffle ball game, right? Like he clearly gets it. And I think if he wants to, you know, get associated with us, we'll have him with open arms, open legs, shit. But like, I don't know, man. I could see him maybe taking the one or a shorter term deal for still big money to be like, this will help me in the long run in terms of media presence and all that kind of shit.
I'd
take him.
I would give me like two years in New York and then go get like a 5-year deal to wrap it up with the Angels and just go like chill in Southern California with a franchise that is forever going to stink. And live out your retirement while still being like in the league, basically.
Oh, him fighting Yankee fans would be so funny too.
So much fun, right?
They can't handle you on Twitter, and you can't do anything. Your team always loses and blows up in your face, and you have them fucking screaming at air. So,
One of my favorite things, two of my favorite things in this world are wings and boobs, and that's what Hooters has always been built on, right? Hooters. Clem, you mind me do me a favor and take this one away for me? You want to do a little Hooters read? Because I don't have.
Let me see. Well, Yeah, I think you kind of hit it on the Hooters and the beer, the wings and the boobs. You can get some beers there as well. It's fucking mm-hmm. This is what life's going to be. Life's going to be nothing but just a nice afternoon at Hooters. Everything looks good. Everything tastes good. Everything feels good. Feel good, look good, play good. Whatever Dion's thing, it carries over to Hooters here. It's incredible. And we have football season coming up next. We get to actually talk a little about football season. You associate wins with Hooters and with football. We're looking forward to football season.
I'm not looking forward to football season. I'm looking forward to the food. I'm looking forward to Hooters because I ain't looking forward to the Jets. You should not be looking forward to the Giants. Now, they are the sponsor of the Philly House. So if you're throwing around that money, you're on the Barstool Sportsbook app, you got your fantasy team going. Did you get your claims in this week, Clem? Any big waiver claims?
I got Jerick McKinnon. He's facing the Giants this week, which I don't love rooting against my team, but I do have a 49ers running back. That's all you need is a Kyle Shanahan, a Shanahan running back. Anyone in the family, they have a running back. You want them on your team. I got them. I'm going to get some wings, some beers, and you can order online in the Hooters app. Curbside, you don't even got to leave the car, which is great for parents. You know this. You don't want to have to go in. That was the one thing on this Corona thing. I was basically, when Sienna was young, I'd have to go to drive-thrus or get delivered in my house to get everything done. Now you can have it done curbside. Obviously, they bring it nice and safe. Don't worry about the Corona stuff. You go right online and in the Hooters app. Free delivery right to your house just in time for football season. Don't even got to leave the house because you don't want to leave the house, get caught up in traffic, and then miss kickoff. There's something about being there for kickoff as soon as we're – listen, we're a Red Zone podcast. Fuck Kyle and his goddamn Packers. He has a good team. We're a Red Zone podcast, me and you, Kev. We're going Red Zone channel from here on out. People at Hooters, they have all the games on the TVs. You can't beat it. So you can order online or in the Hooters app. Get all your favorite rings and sides without leaving the house. Use code STOOL for $10 off any order over 30. Basically, that's, you know, boom. What is that? I mean, 33% off if you're is that right? 33% off if you go over if you're at 30. You're 33% off.
Yeah. I'm gonna eat wings for lunch right now. I'm getting me some Hooters. Once I hear it, start thinking of it, my mouth is watering right now.
I'm so hungry.
These lunchtime podcasts just absolutely kill me. I gotta eat because I gotta get in and do radio at 2. I'm not gonna eat till like 3:30 today. Oh my god.
Kev, I got a question for you. Do you go breaded at Hooters or do you go naked wings?
Always breaded.
Because I feel like you can get the naked wings anywhere. That's just like wings, right? Yeah. But Hooters, it's like their specialty, obviously. Yeah. So like, I'm
give me the carbs. Give me that battery breaded goodness. That's what I'm talking about.
And the fucking paper towels at the table. I love it all. I love the whole experience. We're having a fucking Uncle Stevie party at Hooters next year too. We're throwing in Cone's Corner. We're gonna go to Hooters. We're gonna go to Cone's Corner. We're gonna go to McFadden's. We're going everywhere. We're taking over Major League Baseball.
I love it. So we're wrapping it up here, wrapping up the season. I think, I don't know, if something crazy happens next week, maybe we'll pop on. If there's big playoff talk, we can do that. But, you know, our watch here has ended. We ran our course. We were here every game for you down the stretch, especially Kyle and Clem didn't miss a beat. So to wrap up here, since we do love wings and Hooters, we'll say, what did you love about this season?
Highlights of the season. My number one, I mean, if I think, okay, Dom Smith is number one. Number one, Dom Smith. Like that, just seeing him become this guy is it. But when I, the first thing I thought of when you said that was Edwin Diaz's song. That was my number one.
Edwin, you know why I think I'm going to give it to Edwin, assuming that he can continue, because I am going to put my money where my mouth is. I'm asking for an overhaul of the fan base and for everyone to change their mindset. That's got to start right here with me. You gotta walk the walk if you're gonna talk the talk. The old me would still be telling you right now that Edwin Diaz is bad. I would have dug my heels in. I stuck to my takes. And while I still, in my heart, because I'm battered and broken, I'll never be able to trust him, or at least not for a little while longer, I can fully admit he's a good closer now. And we got back to not quite where he was, but he got back. And it can't always be doom and gloom. It can't be the sky is falling. Certainly not now that, you know, the reason why the sky was falling is because the Wilpons were at the top. Fucking throwing the sky.
You're throwing sky at us. Hammer Brothers.
Sky from the Truman Show bubble and throwing it at you. And now up atop that ivory tower, is Steve Cohen El Jefe, and he is there's no sky falling. He's holding up the sky for us. And so I'm going to shut up about Edwin Diaz. The stats were backing it up, and his performance started to catch up to those stats. And at this point, I'm never going to it's not like what the past happened. What happened in the past happened. You can't undo that. It's not like we were ever making it up or wrong, but he's turned it around. And I hope he keeps it going for the future. And in a weird way, in a little microcosm, that's kind of symbolic. You know, Steve Cohen's going to bring in new players, and it's a new leaf. But there's also current players that are probably a little bit broken and warped and busted from the way they've been managed, the way they've been trained, the way the medical staff, the way the PR team, the way they've won and lost games. And so they're going to grow and change. And Edwin Diaz is the perfect example of that. He just kept his head down, kept doing his thing. And now he's somewhat back, mostly back. And he's got a fucking awesome song. So that's symbolic for the future. Hit the fucking horns, play good baseball, forget about the past, forget about your old image, and roll with the new. It's Cohen, it's Diaz, it's us, it's the Mets. That's the future.
I like this. This is Kevin Gill, man in the mirror on Michael Jackson. Mm-hmm. He's starting with the man.
People think that I'm like negative because I want to be, or they say it's good for content or whatever. It's like, no. What would be great for content is me celebrating World Series in your face and my t-shirts being positive things, not Mr. Met flipping you off and fire this guy, fire that guy. It's not a shtick that I've been doing for fun. I want to be different. I want to change. There just hasn't ever been a reason to change. And now we have the ultimate reason to change, and I'm going to make sure I apply it to everything. The big picture, the small picture, individual players, good players, bad players. It's all new. Overhaul. Switch your brain. Change your mentality and live this new life. I'm going to do it. You fucking do it too. Mets Fans Anonymous, we got to be, got to keep everybody accountable and make sure we're all on the right track.
Uncle Stevie, you said, people are throwing sky at us like the Hammer Brothers or Mario Brothers. Fucking Uncle Stevie just bought us a new sky. He's buying us a new sky. Yep. There's no clouds in it right now. Only the nice little fluffy clouds that we like seeing. Nothing but good, clear skies. He's buying that. The gala is the ushering in of a new era. I cannot wait for the gala, and everyone should just be positive.
You know what we should do? First of all, I would love some tickets to the gala, Steve. Perhaps possible. I bet you Darren gets an invite, so maybe we could. But if not, we're throwing our own gala that night. We'll do a live show. We'll dress it up. We'll have a Mets Fans Anonymous, We Gotta Believe gala the same night as the Steve Cohen gala. We'll drink champagne. We'll pass hors d'oeuvres. We'll eat some Hooters. And we'll have our own fan gala where we usher in the new era. It's going to be a hell of a time. Beautiful. Cake and punch.
Coors Light Mountain's so blue, they look purple. It's going to be I'm just going in the freezer until right before it's about to explode.
Yep.
Kyle, what's your highlight of the year, Kyle? What was your number one thing?
Michael Conforto, finally not being the second fiddle of the team. Dude's been putting it together every year, 85 RBIs. You could set your watch to it. Never gets the love. He's like the fielding version of DeGrom. DeGrom didn't get the love for 3 or 4 years straight. Everyone knew he was the best guy, but everyone wanted to pump up Harvey or pump up Syndergaard. So he needs that extension. Go use your money the smart way and lock him in, because we only have one more year until it's done.
I think he gets. Because I do think he his numbers, if his persona was matching his numbers, I think he'd get big bucks. But there's still this feeling that he's under the radar. I hope he has a good agent who is
Boris.
Because who cares if my client is quiet and polite? He's worth the fucking big bucks, so I hope he gets paid.
One of those things where it's a benefit that he's just you don't have to worry about him. He's behind the scenes. He's just gonna come in hard hat, do his job, and go home. So I mean, it's going to be over 100. I would say
Well, it's funny you say that. I've just learned from experience. The squeaky wheel gets the oil, man. You put your head down and you do your work. I've been told before, you're easy money. You just do your thing. The money rolls in. You're no drama. There's no problems. And it's that's all well and good. But the people that are drama and problems are making fucking bank. So I hope that he gets rewarded for being – he should get more money for being quiet and no problems.
That counts.
Yeah, it should. Boris,
it's also
the collective bargaining agreement's coming up. So like it could be one of those things where if they are putting in a salary cap, they may be like, dude, go get your money now. Yeah. So you could get him at a discount if he wants to lock it up early.
Right, right, right. All right. So Conforto, Diaz, and you know, I guess the low light. Nah, you know what? No, fuck it. No,
I was gonna say, Kevin, what's your low light of the season? It doesn't matter what the low light of the season is. It doesn't matter because Uncle Stevie's our – we're not negative anymore. We're all positive. Positive vibes only until there's a reason not to be. And even then, fuck it. Nothing but blue skies.
And I can't wait for SNY to belong to Cohen. Cohen's network is coming. And the Wilpons will officially be fully out of our lives with less money in their pocket than they should have had because they out-negotiated themselves like a bunch of dumb dickheads. So this is the final podcast, probably, with the Wilpons being in our lives. And the next time we do an official one, it will be – we might just rename the podcast. It might be like Steve Cohen's baseball team podcast, whatever. Over our lives, and we cannot wait. So signing off for at least the regular season and at least for the foreseeable future – it's me, Kyle, and Clem. Thanks to all the Mets Fans Anonymous members and all the sponsors and all the fans of Anarchy for joining us. Thanks to all the sponsors for making it happen this year. And for the first time, truly, I will say it sincerely, based on the future and based on what Cohen can bring us, you've got to believe.
We got to believe.
We got to believe.